It's a strange thought, but it's a needful thought this evening. And I want to preach icebergs dead ahead. Icebergs dead ahead. Job chapter number 6, verse number 11. Stand if you would as we read from God's word tonight, if you're able tonight. What is my strength that I should hope? What is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones or my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me and is wisdom driven quiet from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. For he forsaketh, for he that forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of the brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. That's all we'll read tonight from this scripture. But I want to preach again, icebergs dead ahead. And Job had, we all know the life of Job. We know that Job was a very wealthy man. Job was a blessed man. You can read in chapter 1 of all the blessings that Job had. And chapter number 2, you begin to see from 1 to 2, you see things slowly and drastically, Brother James, taken out of Job's life. And the end result in chapter number 2 is Job is sitting amongst the friends and for 7 nights. In 7 days, his friends just sat there, had nothing to say to Job. And finally, in chapter 3, they opened their mouth, and what they had to say was of no value to Job. Job, at one point in the scripture, said, "Ye are all physicians of no value." Oh, my friend, do you see in Job, in the time that Job needed his friends the most, his friends were cold, his friends left him, his friends hurt him, and Job himself needed God and needed friends, but thank God he still had God.
Amen.
Amen. Job had some cold friends. Amen. When Job needed comfort, he got cold shouldered. Anybody ever been like that? I mean, when you just need comfort from somebody, you call on them and say, "Can you come and help out?" And you get the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anybody in the sound of my voice ever been like that? Or is it just me? Amen. But I'm talking about a coldness tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. You know the biggest danger of our church world today? It's not compromise. I'd say the biggest danger from outside is not compromise. I know your pastor. I know what he stands for. You say, well, if Jason ain't right, we're going to compromise and we're going to get that authorized King James Version Bible out of the church and bring in this NIV. I'm not worried about that. Well, what about on the doctor? Maybe we'll go from eternal security to free will. I'm not worried about that. Oh, and you shouldn't be either. But you know the biggest danger of the church is, of the modern today church world is, it's coldness. It's coldness. The Bible said the love of many will wax cold. Amen. I'm talking about, it's a sad day when people come to the house of God and they get the cold shoulder. I'm talking about it's going to get cold. And that's what I'm not saying Mount Zion's going this way, but I want to preach tonight a warning. I'll give you some things to look for and from the icebergs. Because if you're not careful, icebergs are dead ahead. Icebergs are dead ahead. Oh, and how great the Church of the Living God is. Oh, but my friend, let it hit an iceberg and watch what happens. Amen. Oh, the Titanic back in 1912, and April 15, 1912, realized what an iceberg can do. Oh, you see, the Titanic was 46,000 tons. Oh, of gross tons, 882 feet long, 175 foot tall, and this will get some of your NASCAR fans a little excited. It had 46,000 horsepower. Hey, man, I don't know any of our cars that got 46,000. But, honey, I'd like to go buy one of them cars. We get to church in 5 minutes. Oh, but my friend, though it was big, though it was great, when an iceberg hit it, it sank.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking, it had a capacity for 3,327 people, or they said up to 3,547. Had a lot. I mean, of the non-war time, it was one of the greatest catastrophes that ever happened on the open seas. They even had a statement, it's well known, it said, even God himself can't sink this ship. Oh, amen. They found out that God can do a whole lot more than what they think they can. Amen. But you say, I'll never get that way. And if we get that attitude, I'll never go that way. Guess what we're in danger of doing? We're in danger of ourselves becoming an iceberg. Amen. Now, first, let me get down. I'm going to give you six type of icebergs here in a minute. But first of all, let me say this. You say, what am I cold at? First of all, we're in danger of being cold to the people of God. We're in danger of being cold to the purpose of God. Amen. I mean, when church becomes no longer about seeing lost people saved and about lifting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ up, amen, we become cold to the purpose in the church house. Amen. I know people say, we'll have ice cream socials and we'll do this and we'll do that and people will come in. Oh, but my friend, if Jesus is not the front, let me say this, he won't be the back of it. Amen. Amen. Called to the purpose. Is there not a cause? It's what David said. Amen. To Saul, he said, is there not a cause? Amen. I'm glad there's still a cause and there's still a purpose. Let us see lost men and women, boys and girls, one born redeemed by the power of God. Amen. Called to the plans. You realize God has got plans for Mount Zion Baptist Church? God's got some plans. And he may not include all of you in on it. He don't have to. Oh, my friend. Oh, but you know what God's looking forward you to do? Is just let go and say, God, I'm going with you. And we'll let God work out the details. Iceberg's dead ahead. Amen. Let go and let God. That's a good statement, Pastor. Amen. We ought to. Amen. But notice the description. There's pieces of ice. To have an iceberg, you know what an iceberg is? It's something that's formed. It's formed. It just doesn't happen overnight. It's formed. Amen. Drastic coldness doesn't come just all at once. It's gradual. It's something that just it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. My friend, you say, I'll never do that. But start slacking off on your prayer life. Start slacking off on your study life. Start slacking off on your church attendance. Start slacking off on doing what God says to do. And before long, icebergs dead ahead. Amen. Icebergs are pieces of ice formed on land that break off in an ocean or a lake. When it gets cold, let me say this, when you get cold, you make others cold around you. Amen. Let me say something to the daddies first. Amen. Brother Jason, I just need to preach what's on my heart tonight. Let me say something to the daddies first. When you get cold with God, guess who gets cold next? Oh, mama does. And when mom and daddy get cold with God, guess who gets cold after that? The children do. So my advice to you dads is don't get cold on God. Amen. Don't get cold on him. Amen. Amen. They'll eventually break off, my friend. And when they break off, that's what happens. Icebergs take years to form. But let me say this. Of all the icebergs that you see, if you were to taking out NASA and science. There's actually groups of scientists around the world that study these out. They mark them on maps where they're at. Ever since the Titanic went down, they begin to mark these icebergs at. Let me say this, God's marking icebergs. Amen. And I don't think I'm preaching to icebergs tonight. Oh, but my friend, can I let you know there might be some icebergs right on the church roll of Mount Zion Baptist Church. But guess what? God knows where they're at. Amen. And if you say, well, I'm an iceberg, or you may tonight after God allows the message to go out, you say, I know some icebergs. Don't you look your nose up at them or down upon them. Amen. You pray for them because you might be an iceberg tomorrow and you want somebody not to throw you out. You want them to love on you and warm you up. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. But 90% of an iceberg are below the surface. You only see 10%. Amen. Pastor, as much as you know about your congregation, I believe you do, you don't know about 10%. Amen. I mean, you ever, now, you can look at me like with your horns holding up your halo or not, but I've been here. I've been like this. I mean, you just driving to church and you and your wife can't get along. You're fussing the whole way. My friend, you're breaking the speed limit just to get there, and you're arguing the whole time. You woke up arguing. You're arguing on the way there, but you get the house of God and a smile's on your face. Hey, I'm glad to be here. Oh, I wonder if your children would say that you're glad to be here. I mean, they rode in the back with you the whole way. They heard you arguing the whole way to get here. Oh, but that 10% you put on inside the doors, but God knows the 90% in your heart. Amen. I mean, ain't no sense of, I mean, we like the ladies to wear the makeup, but us men get real good at it also. We like to put on the facade that everything's all right. Yeah, man. Sometimes not everything's all right. Sometimes not everything's okay. I mean, we'd be real wise just to be honest with God and say, God, here it is. I need your help. Yeah. Amen. I mean, the quicker we do that, the quicker we get help from God, the quicker we get better, and the quicker the church goes on. Yeah, icebergs dead ahead. There's icebergs in the church. There's icebergs in the Christian. And there's icebergs in the community. I want you to realize tonight, as under the help of God and as God speaks to your heart tonight, I want you to ask yourself, do I have an iceberg? Am I an iceberg? Or let God, you may not be an iceberg. You may not have any iceberg attributes with you. Oh, but God may want to show you that someday you're going to encounter an iceberg. You didn't know how to handle it tonight. Icebergs are unstable. They can break off and tip over at any moment. They're not stable, my friend. You let somebody get under the conviction power of God, they're not stable. Amen. You let a Christian get out of the will of God, they're not stable either. Amen. They can tip over, Brother Eddie, at any moment. Amen. I mean, there's been some, Brother Randy, that you've worshiped with, that you've sat with, that you've loved on. Amen. But guess what? My friend, they got out of the will of God, and they got unstable, and they done something out of character. Why? Because there's an iceberg in their life. Icebergs, when struck, cause major damage. Icebergs are tracked by plane or radar. Again, God sees the icebergs from the sky. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, He knows the very thoughts, the intents of the heart. We're not fooling God. Let me say that again. I think I'm only about 4 or 5 got a hold of that, but we're not fooling God. You may fool the pastor, you may fool the deacon, but you're not fooling God. Amen. Icebergs dead ahead. Now, there's 6 types of icebergs tonight. There's the tabular iceberg. It's got steep sides with a flat top. You know what? It comes up to a certain point, and then it just levels off. You know what's that? What's that, preacher? That's them kind of people that just think there's no more room to grow. Think they've got it all figured out. I mean, they've been saved by the grace of God, Brother Jeff. Oh, but my friend, they don't need to grow anymore. Oh, but my friend, you and I still need to grow. Yes, amen. We're not perfect by any stretch of the means. Oh, that's why Peter said, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to grow tonight. Yes, sir. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Paul said, I've come to show you a more excellent way. I mean, it wasn't that the church of Corinth wasn't saved. They just wasn't doing everything right. But Paul come to show them a more excellent way. I mean, what was he saying? It's time to grow. Amen. I mean, what did the writer of Hebrews say? Leaving those things which are behind. And he said, let's move forward. Let's go on unto perfection. What was that mean? They weren't perfect yet, but he came to teach them some things. You ever run into those people that just think they know it all? Bunch of know-it-alls. I used to pastor some know-it-alls. I know what they are. And I'm not throwing off on them, but I'm just saying, I mean, when we get to the attitude that we think we know everything, we're of no value. Amen. I mean, I'm even having to tell me, well, I've I've never had to learn anything else since I've been saved. Well, bless God, but I have. Amen, and I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And there's some things I thought I was dead right on. God showed me I was dead wrong on. Amen. Oh, but I'm glad He ain't giving up on me. I mean, them children got it right when they sing that song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He put the moon in the sky and the stars in the sky. Oh, but thank God, He's still working on me. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He's not finished yet. But if you get the attitude is, I know it all, you're in danger of becoming an iceberg. You're in trouble becoming one of them tabular icebergs. I mean, you just flat top off. I mean, there's no more room to go up. You know it all. And when you get that attitude that you know it all, you see them know it alls, they stop growing. Don't stop growing, Mount Zion. Grow and grow and grow. Hey, if you never have to put another pew in this building, oh, but you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done a good work. You've done what God has expected in your life. I mean, be honest with you, not everybody's going to get saved. I mean, the Bible said there's more going to hell than going to heaven. And but that don't mean we can't go after them all. Amen, that's our job. I mean, whether Jew or Gentile, go after them all. Let God save them. Let God place them. But let God grow you in the process. Next type of iceberg they got them dome icebergs. Them dome icebergs come up to a point and they round off. They kind of look like the top of a cathedral. What's that got to do with us? It's some religious type. I mean, them religious facilities, they've all got these great big domes on them. They can break great big cathedrals tops. But you know the hardest person to work with? Brother Jason, can I say this? Some of the hardest people to pastor, some religious folk. Hey, man, come on. I mean, everything's by routine. I mean, it ain't because you love the Lord. It's just because it's by routine. I mean, you say, well, I wear modest apparel. My wife, she always wears a dress and she's always covered up head to toe. And I wear a dress shirts and jeans. I don't wear shorts and all this stuff. But if your heart's not right with God, it's accomplished you nothing. I mean, there's a lot of people that got these, I don't know what, I'm losing the word here. They got all these convictions, but they're all man-made. They're all self-made. And God ain't got a thing to do with them. Amen. I mean, these people that want to eat fish on Fridays, why wait till Friday to eat fish? Eat it on Monday. It's just as good then. God ain't got a thing to do with it. But I mean, I'm talking about religious folk. I mean, you ever talk to somebody who says, I mean, you can even get into the house of God and God move on their heart. And they're just like, man, I ain't ever felt nothing like that before. They go to church, but they ain't ever felt nothing like that before. And God began to, they say, I'd go there, but I go over here. God ain't spake to them over there. He spoke to them here, but they still need to go over there. Why religion? Religious? Religious. I mean, you let a Catholic get saved by the grace of God. I mean, their whole family excommunicates them. I mean, especially if they get Baptist. Hey, man, they don't like Baptist folk too much. They've been trying to kill us long before the Reformation took place. They've been trying to kill us. Hey, man, I'm not saying they're trying to do it now. Oh, but let me say this. If you let a Catholic join a Baptist church, watch out. Watch out. I mean, but I'm glad God's still interested in saving Catholic people. Amen. Amen. God save a Catholic person, blood bought, wash them in the blood. Amen. Get born again. Amen. And get a baptism they'll never forget. Amen. I'm talking about they'll leave religion and be saved by the grace of God. The dome type of icebergs, the religious folk. I mean, just come in. Most of them, they come in Sunday morning. They can't make it to Sunday school. They just make it for worship service. They're 10 minutes late for that. Amen, but I mean, they fill the spot of the pew, but I mean, the funny thing about it is you ask them, well, what did the pastor preach on, or what did the preacher preach on? I don't know. He got happy. He yelled a lot. You ever talk to people like that? Hey, man, I have. It blows my mind. We went to church, but I can't tell you what the pastor's. Well, why in the world did you even go if you weren't going to listen? Stay at home. Hey, man, he ain't getting no lapel pin from God if you're here or not. I mean, if you're just here a number. Amen. I mean, do some business while you're here. I mean, religious folk, why are you here? Are you here because you want to be? I'm glad. I think Mount Zion's here because they want to be tonight. I mean, if they wasn't, there wouldn't be no power of God. Amen. But we want to be here tonight. I want to be here tonight. Amen. We got that wedge type. There's a wedge type of icebergs. You know, everybody knows what a wedge is. A wedge is made to do nothing more but to split or divide. I mean, look at a wedge. It's got one purpose. It's just to split or divide. That's what this iceberg looks like. It looks like a wedge. Hey, man, you ever seen them people that all they want to do is split and divide? Hey, man, I mean, you ain't got to look too hard. Turn your news on. Turn CNN on. Turn MSNBC on. I mean, you can even turn on all them liberal news medias, and guess what? All they want to do is split and divide. Amen. Guess what? Fox News ain't exempt from it either. Guess what they want to do? They want to split and divide also. That's why no one can get along anymore, because the world's filled with nothing but wedges. Sad part about it is there's church folk that are wedges tonight. Paul said to the church of Romans, chapter 16, verse number 17, "Mark them which cause division among you." Mark them. Point them out. Show them out. I mean, we got some wedges in the Baptist churches. Amen. Amen. I mean, we got some wedges. I mean, every time the church wants to do something, they got to try to cause a division, try to cause a fuss up. Amen. I mean, we got some wedges in the home. Amen. Here it comes. I mean, mamas and daddies want to drive wedges in between the children to get them to two sides. Shame on you. Shame on you. Hey, man, it ain't about who they love the best. Now, we joke around with the kids, but if you're doing something to make them love somebody else more than someone else, shame on you. Amen. Now, it happens. Divorce has happened. Hey, man. But if they do, and I mean, there's no way to reconcile, don't you go and make your kids hate the opposite, hate the dad or hate the mom. Shame on you. Amen. Hey, man, that was free anyways. Wedges. Guess what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 19? He's talking about the 16 that the Lord hate. He said, "He that soweth discord among the brethren," Lord hates that. I mean, that covenant still says, I mean, it still says to pray for one another, doesn't it? I mean, it still says to seek the unity of the Spirit of God. Amen. I mean, the Bible said, "Behold, how pleasant it is that the brethren dwell together in unity." Hey, man, you want to see the power of God fill the sanctuary? Sit together in unity. I mean, you may like Kentucky basketball. God help you, I'll pray for you. I don't like Kentucky basketball, but guess what? I love you, preacher. Amen. 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 You may even like Michigan. That's even worse, but guess what? I love you. You know what? You may like soup, beans, and cornbread. I don't care for it a bit. But don't you not love me because I don't like that. And guess what? I love you even though you like that. Amen. I mean, I love you kids, and you all think McDonald's is the best thing since sliced bread. God help you. I mean, let your taste palates grow a little bit. I mean, get some Wendy's up in that thing and know what it's like to eat something real. But what I'm saying is, we've got a lot of wedges. Can we not come together for Christ? Can we not come together for Christ? I mean, some of you drive Ford, some of you drive Chevrolets, some of you drive Hondas. Thank God for you, amen. Yeah. And if you drive a Tesla, good news, I like to work on them, amen. Bring them to the shop, amen. But once you drive, the minor things in life we can get by on, but let's come together for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wedges. Then we got them blocky type. Blocky type of icebergs. That's what they're called. They call them blockies. They're in the shape of a block. Looks like a block. But a blocky is something that always gets in the way of something. Always gets in the way of something. And you let the church of God begin to move. And you let it begin to grow. and you let the church get to be on a place where God's getting ready to bust the doors open. Hey, man, I mean, people get born again. I mean, just not taking up membership, but I mean born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I mean the church begin to grow. Them that's been saved, them that's never done anything are beginning to step out and do something for God. Be careful, because there might be a block come up. Amen. I mean, I've seen youth groups begin to grow and God begin to bless. And I mean, they begin to do things that they ain't ever done before. Amen. And I mean, just God moving and God just blessing. And let a block get in the way. Let a block get in the way. And if we're not careful, we'll let that block stop everything that God wants to do. Let me say this. The devil's been fighting the church since day one. What makes you think he's going to stop now? And whether you want to think it or not, guess what? The devil still plants tares in the church. But that don't mean you can't do what God's ordered for your life. Amen. Brother James, don't mean you can't do what God wants you to do with that youth group. Right. Amen. Keep on pressing on, brother. I mean, keep going on. I don't care if they let hell throw all that it wants to at your way. Amen. As long as you've got God, you've got all you need. Amen. Go on with Jesus tonight.
Yes.
I mean, let me read Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I've marked it down, so it ought to be pretty needful tonight. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Notice what the scripture says. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge just the rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Amen.
What's he saying? Don't cause your brother to trip up. Don't be a blocky. Don't block him from serving God. Amen. And you know what? It'd be best if we realize this. My walk with God affects Brother Eddie. Brother James, your walk with God affects my son Jacob. Young people, your walk with God affects your pastor. Pastor, your walk with God affects the elders. We all have an effect on one another. I mean, if you can't finish right for God and finish right for Jesus Christ and do right for Him, would you at least do right for your church? Would you at least do right for one another? Amen. I mean, let's finish right. You've run a good race, but who did hinder you? That's what Paul told the church of Galatia. Did he not? He said, you didn't run well, but who did hinder you? You know the answer I find most of the time to that question? Who did hinder you? Well, Brother James Powell hindered me. No. Most of the time it's me. It's me that hinders me. It's the inward man. My greatest battle, to be honest with you, ain't with the devil. My greatest battle is with my flesh. Amen. You realize when Amalekite, when Amalek began to fight against the children of Israel, it's after they drank from the rock. Now we know that rock is Christ. Is it not? Ain't that what Paul told the church of Corinth? He said that rock that they drank from was Christ. Guess when your flesh, your Amalek began to fight you? When you was lost? No. The moment you got saved, your flesh began to fight you. That's why when you went home in the bed of the night that morning, you got saved. Some of you got saved on a Sunday morning. I mean, you felt like you could charge hell with a water pistol. But guess what? Sunday night come along, you lay your head down. Guess what? The devil in your flesh said you didn't get what you thought you got. Guess what happens when the moment you desire to do right, guess what happens? Your flesh says no. Your flesh says you can't. And when your flesh says no, and the flesh says you can't, and the devil says you can't, if you yield to the flesh, you won't. You won't. I mean, go on with God. Amen. I mean, do right. Amen. I mean, this is the modern day Baptist excuse anymore, and I'm going here. You may never have me back, but that'd be all right. Modern day Baptist excuses, well, we just ain't ever done it like that before. Ever heard that? We just ain't ever done it like that before. Can't find no scripture against it, but we ain't ever done it like that before. Well, if you can't find scripture against it and you ain't ever done it like that before, don't mean that what you're doing is wrong. But I mean, you ever just think God ain't just trying to say, here, I want to show you a better way. I want to help you out a little bit. I mean, well, you're not changing the way people get saved. You're not changing the way God says. I mean, you're staying right in the book. What's wrong with it?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what happened where we was at before. I mean, wasn't no scripture against it. I mean, matter of fact, there was scripture for it, but they ain't ever done it that way. Well, I mean, else we're going to go by the book or we're going to go by man's rules. I say go by the book. Amen. I mean, I'll go with God, and whether you want to go with God or not. Amen. Because guess what? Whether you decide to go or not, if I stand on the Word of God, He's going to be for me. Amen. And I'll have peace with God. Now, it may hurt the flesh for a while. Don't get me wrong. It hurts. I mean, guess what? God out far ways. I mean, God pays a whole lot better anyways. Let me give you two more points, and then we'll get down how to defeat the icebergs. The next kind of iceberg they got the pinnacle type. And I mean, it's got spires that stick up out of the water. I mean, you can't see most of them, but it's got the spires that stick up. It's a stuck-up iceberg. It's a stuck-up iceberg full of pride. You ever seen the people that's full of pride? I mean, I've been saved for 40 years. I can't do that. Well, man, thank God you've been saved for 40 years. God love you. And I'm thankful that you have been. Amen. You might be 50 years old and been saved 40 years. That means you got saved in a young age. Thank God in heaven for that. Yeah, yeah. Just because you've been saved 40 years doesn't entitle you to anything more than what entitled somebody just got saved. Bye. Amen.
That's exactly
right. Amen. But we get this attitude, we're full of pride. I mean, we want God to do something, and God says, all right, you want me to do something? Here it is, come get it. Well, if I go to that altar, what's people going to think of me? They're going to talk about me. They're going to say things about me. And before long, the altar call's passed, God's Spirit's done passed, and God ain't knocking at your heart no more. And guess what? You missed the opportunity for God to do something in your life, and the one thing that kept you from it's pride.
Pride.
You know what hurts people of God more than anything else is pride. Pride. I mean, we're just full of it. I mean, we've adopted that song, I Shall Not Be Moved, as our national motto. I mean, and that's the way it is. I mean, the preacher pours his heart out, and we got that attitude. I'm not going to be moved by him today. I'm not going to let him think he's right and I'm wrong. But by the way, it's not him preaching to you, it's God is preaching to you. It's God. I mean, every time the man of God stands behind this desk, it says God himself is speaking to you. And we need to get back to that reality in our modern church world, that's the way it is. When the man of God stays behind there and the anointing of God and the Spirit of God, it's just as if God is speaking to you. And yet people say God never speaks. Well, they ain't coming to church anymore. Amen. But full of pride. I mean, God throwing lifelines out left and right. I mean, I believe God threw lifelines out while the youth group was singing. But you were too prideful to say, I can't come. I mean, what will they think of me? I mean, God say, I want you to testify. And pride well up and say, no, you can't speak right. I mean, even Moses was like that. Moses said, Lord, he said, I'm not of eloquent speech. I can't speak right. He said, well, take Aaron, your brother, with you. But guess who done all the talking?
Amen.
Moses. Because Moses stepped out and said, okay, God, I'll go with you. I'll do what you want.
Right.
Moses done the talking. Hey, man, if you would just step out and go with God, ain't no telling what God would do in your life. The devil will tell you young people, don't do nothing at school. Just keep God at home. Keep God at the church house. Don't bring him into the schoolhouse. And we'll let pride. I've been there. I've been there. I've even went so far, Brother James, I carried my Bible into school. And I carried it. I carried it to every class. Hey, man, I never opened it up. Never took time to read it. It was always, let's talk about the football team. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. Man, what would have took place if I was just willing to put pride aside? And yes, and I'll be honest with you, young people, you might get made fun of. But guess what? They're going to make fun of you anyways. Amen. I mean, y'all probably making fun of me the way my hair looks. That's all right. It might have a few out of place. But guess what? They may make fun of you. Take a stand for God. The people that's going to go and clock in and punch in at work tomorrow, they say, no God in the workplace. No God in the workplace. What if God says, I need you to go to that one and talk to them? I mean, you ain't got to revelate the whole Word of God to them, but maybe just go to them and say, I want you to know something. I love you, and I'm praying for you. And if you ever need anything, I want you to know that I'm there for you. Is that too hard? But maybe God will just say, you need to go to this one and say, God told me to come to you and say this. And whatever God tells you to say, you say it. You don't hold nothing back. You say, but I may lose my job. You might lose a whole lot more if you don't do what God says to do. Because God can give you another job. But I'd hate to have to weep my way back to God to feel God one more time. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The last kind of iceberg we got, they call them the growlers. They're smaller icebergs, but the science says that if it's real quiet and you stand off at a distance, it's got air molecules that's working its way through it, and they make a moaning sound. They're always moaning and groaning. Amen. Got some moaning and groaning icebergs in our religious, in our church world today. Always moaning and groaning and complaining. I mean, they like that, what's that little bear or whatever. I mean, Goldilocks, the little bear. I mean, it's either too hot, it's either too cold, it's either too soft, or it's too hard, it's too loud, it's too quiet, it's too dignified, it's too loose. Why not just be with God? Why don't we just accept the fact that sometimes every time we come to the house of God, sometimes it's not always going to be mountaintop preaching and mountaintop singing and mountaintop spirit.
Right.
Sometimes God's got to still the waters for someone to get in.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes God's got to trouble the waters for some to get in. Oh, but some through the Father, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire. But guess what?
Amen.
All through the blood.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Got some moaners, got some growlers. Bible said in Jude verse number 16, said these are murmurers, complainers, walking about their own lust. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 verse number 14, he said, do all things without murmurings or disputings. If God says do something, don't you murmur against God, just do it. Amen. Mark, watch those. I mean, just sit back and watch sometimes as God begins to move and watch. People murmur. Watch people complain. But let me give you some advice. We all got phones. We all got cell phones. We all got Facebook. Sad to say, I think Facebook's harmed more churches than anything else. I'm not against Facebook. I like it. It's a good way to communicate. I like to keep up with my friends and family on that. But don't share your dirty laundry out on it. And the worst of all, don't you ever, you can don't talk about my wife. But don't talk about God's bride on Facebook. Why? Because there's a lost world that's out there watching it and looking at it. And don't you ever complain about your pastor. If you've got a problem with your pastor or a deacon, you go to that one with someone else in confidence and love and sit down and work it out. He's your under-shepherd that God placed in your life. Amen. And we wonder why the man of God don't have no more influence on our children anymore because we butchered him over the dinner table.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You be careful what you say around your children. They hear a whole lot more than what you think they'd hear. And they know a whole lot more than what you think they do. And if you want them to have any kind of confidence in God and in the church, keep your mouth shut around them.
Amen.
And you get alone with God and you get in that prayer closet and you and God wrestle it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it just like old Jacob did. You wrestle the night and you work it out with him.
Yeah,
and you'll limp away. Amen. You'll leave different.
Yeah.
Amen. Like it, lump it, or limp away from it. I think that's what I heard somebody say one time.
Sir.
I kind of adopted that saying. But how can I defeat the icebergs? First of all, again, you got to get it to the surface. As long as you got the coldness in your heart, you'll never defeat the iceberg. They say that icebergs begin to break up and begin to go away the moment they get to the surface. They get to the surface and that warmer, that climate changes and it begins to affect that iceberg and it begins to melt away. Now, it don't melt overnight, but I'll say this. If you'll let it get to the surface tonight and let God bust it up,
yeah.
Amen, you it can go away tonight.
I
mean, you can leave tonight and feel like, man, you can really sing that song, I'll Fly Away, because that burden you've been carrying around, that's weighed you down for years. God's busted up.
Right.
Iceberg's dead ahead, so you got to get it to the surface. So how to get it to the surface? You got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with God. I mean, you never get anywhere with God until you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God. And if you get to the surface and say, God, I need help in this area. God, my church needs help. I mean, by all means, if you think your pastor needs help, please pray for him. I mean, he ain't going to turn down one prayer to pray for your pastor. Pray for him. I mean, pray for him. Ask God to, I mean, just give him wisdom and knowledge. You not want wisdom and knowledge? I mean, you want wisdom and knowledge. Brother James, you want wisdom and knowledge? Amen. I mean, pray for him. Pray for him. Get it to the surface. But the next thing is get it to where the heat's at. Get to where the heat is at. I mean, you want to get, if you want Mount Zion Baptist Church not to have an iceberg in it, get the heat up in here. Get it hot.
Yes, sir.
I mean, hellfire, brimstone preaching. I mean, singing, preaching, praying, shouting. That song that I like is the old time preaching, praying, singing, shouting. The good old camp meeting days. Amen. I mean, 2 years ago, this place was packed and stacked like a racetrack. And I mean, God moved in this place. Guess what? It got hot in here. And God melted some icebergs. God melted some icebergs in all our lives, didn't he? Because I don't think for a second those that were here that night, those that were here them 3 days, didn't have a trepidation in their heart, in their mind, and or just an ounce of, we ain't ever done this before. I don't know why. I've heard of camp meeting, but we ain't ever done that before. But I'm going to go give it a try. And Thursday night, God moved in this place. I mean, he stood up abode from Thursday night to Friday morning to Friday night to Saturday morning. I believe one of your children got saved, Brother Jeff, right in the meeting. I mean, aren't you glad God moved in? Hey, you know what? God turned the heat up. You don't want icebergs in the church, turn the heat up. I'm not talking about the thermostat. I'm talking about getting God in here. Hey, man, I mean singing, preaching, praying, shouting. I mean, be glad you're in the house of God. I mean, God says testify. I mean, let her rip tater chip. Yeah. Just get all beside yourself. Lose your dignity and go with God.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to the back in the old days, Brother Powell, when the older ladies, I mean, they just jump up and shout, and I mean, hairpins flying out, and I mean, they getting in the glory fits. I mean, I know it's outdated, but what happened to someone just getting so filled up? I mean, they just had to take a glory lap for God. It may be out of style, but it sure ain't out of order in heaven. If you think it is, then why did David say they'll have hinds feet unlike calves on leaping? Why? Because they were happy in the Lord.
Yeah.
In the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes a preacher can do well to loosen his tie up a little bit. I mean, preach. Turn the heat up. Young people, man, sing like you've never sung before. Sing it like it's your last time you're ever going to sing. This might be the last time we worship God on this side of eternity. And I'm looking forward to the next time over there. But I'd like to go out with a bang. I'd like the grand finale. I like God just to put off them fireworks shows, they've always got what they call the grand finale.
Yeah.
And they let off the biggest, the loudest, and the best, and the most to last.
Yeah.
I'd like to think God's got one more grand finale with this thing. I'm not saying millions and billions get saved, but man, I'd like to think all them I've been praying for get saved.
Amen.
And God wrap this thing up. Anybody here not want people they've been praying for to get saved? Turn the heat up. Turn the heat up. Pastor, that's the message, and that's what God's placed on our heart. Job said they're blackish by reason of ice and wherein the snow is hid. But he said, what time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. Turn the heat up. Icebergs dead ahead. What are you going to do about it? Maybe tonight you realize you've got an iceberg in your life and in your heart. Don't leave tonight without doing business with God.
Right.
Please don't leave tonight without getting it right with God. And it might just be something only you and God know about. But I got news for you. If you don't do business with God tonight, you might walk out in the doors and everybody may know about it tomorrow. But right now, God's offering you a lifeline.
Yes, he is.
He's saying, here it is. Come, get it right.